Dub Nation, you're listening to the Warriors Post Up with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy.
Kuminga up the floor, gets a screen by Curry, right down the lane, and he slammed it down with a right hand. Great screen by Steph Curry. Jonathan, can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
So tell me a little bit about the game tonight and going into this game. You guys had a tough afternoon in Boston. You wanted to just, you know, flush that away. You know, what were the keys tonight for this game, do you think?
Definitely, like you said, we just flushed that away. And of course, we just came out the gate playing hard, playing fast, playing physical, executing everything, and that really gave us that separation and lead.
You know, tonight I saw you make a couple plays tonight. They're really, it's so much fun to watch your growth. There's a play, you started to make a move down the lane. You saw Giannis there lurking. You said, you know what, I can make a 15-footer as easy as a layup or a dunk. And you pulled up and made that shot. Do you feel those little decisions coming a lot easier and quicker for you?
I mean, it's just as much as you on the floor, it's helping you to just read all the small things coming at you faster that I didn't really, like, see it before. And now that I get a chance to be in it and play more, it's just giving me the idea of where people are coming from and how to play against everybody.
What's been the difference, Jonathan, in the defense the last month or so? Because that's really been the resurgence for you guys, is just being a lot tighter defensively.
I mean, obviously we have a deep team. And the only thing that coaches say, just go out there, play as hard as you can. And if you need a stop, just come out, because we have a deep team. And that's why giving guys motivation to just go out there, play as hard as they can for a little bit, and then the next guy going to come up and just fill that spot.
How about the jolt that Trayce Jackson-Davis gave you guys in the second half?
Oh, man. He's a hell of a player. He's just been waiting for his moment, and every time his moment comes through, he go out there and just give us life.
How excited are you to the fact that, you know, you're a great athlete, becoming a great basketball player? He's a great athlete, learning how to play. How excited are you to play alongside another guy like that for years to come?
I'm very excited. He's going to make more of my life easier.
Yes, yeah, I think he will. I think he's going to make everybody's life easier. Yes. Hey, Jonathan, great night tonight. 20 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, and a big win. Congratulations.
You talking to me?
Yes.
I mean, it's been around the game for so long, and one thing people don't know.
No, I was congratulating you on your great night.
Oh, you talk. Yeah. I couldn't hear you because it kind of stopped.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
it stopped.
Okay.
Congratulations. Nah, it kind of stopped. I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Well, congratulations on the win, and thank you so much, as always, for your time.
Sir. Thank
and
you.
Your patience.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right,
guys. Appreciate it.
Jonathan Kuminga joining us here. Final was 125-90.
I
the Warriors
to hear the
win.
Answer to that, actually. Since there's no question, I just wanted to see where that was going to lead. That might have been interesting.
125-90, the State Farm postgame show beckons on the Warriors Radio Network. Golden State with a 125-90 win over Milwaukee. They hold the Bucks to 9 points in the fourth quarter. Their best fourth quarter defensive effort on the season, have been holding some of the 20, so this shatters that en route to the victory. That after they scored only 15 in the third quarter. The Warriors getting only 15 points. Bucks were back in it, but Trayce Jackson-Davis changed this game. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, 19 threes for Golden State tonight, 19 of 39, 48.7%. And because they had 19 threes, that means that $9,500 will be donated to benefit local organizations, underserved youth. It is the Hoops for Kids program, brought to you by Salesforce. Go to warriors.com/kids for more info. And always a thank you to our friends at Salesforce. So 125-90, and Tom, it's funny, you know, there's a lot of games you look at, and there's a variety of factors that go into it. But this was down to a 6-point game at one point. But Trayce Jackson-Davis came in, he changed the energy, he changed the rim protection, he gave vertical spacing down at the other end. And, you know, very rarely can you look at one player who came in and changed the game, but tonight he did.
He was absolutely fantastic. Hello?
Hello?
He was absolutely fantastic.
Thought maybe he had left early.
No. I'm good. Plus 20 in 18 minutes.
Oof.
In 18 minutes. I mean, that is getting it done. And a lot of times you can say on the plus minus, and we'll both acknowledge it. Sometimes you're not doing much. You're just kind of out there.
Right.
And you get lucky. Like, you run into a Steph hot streak while you're out there. While you're out there. It's like, hey, look at me. I was plus 11. Well, yeah, but he was the reason he was plus 20.
Right.
Like, he was blocking shots. He was running the court. He forced a couple turnovers. He finished at the rim. Like, nothing spectacular offensively, but just being able to catch and finish. And a lot of times, you know, young guys get a little antsy, try to be a little quick, and don't finish. Or the one that he finished over Giannis, that's not easy finishing over that guy. I mean, that guy is long. So he was great. But defensively, that's where it started. And then he just runs the court. You watch him run. It's like block shot, and then he just flies up the court. And what that does, well, it gives you an option to pass for a layup, dunk. But if they pick it up, which usually the big guy on the other team's not running that hard, the wings have to pick it up, and now it opens it up for the perimeter players. Maybe you get a wide-open three-point shot because he ran the court. He was just really, really good tonight. And, yes, he was that was the most important part of the game, and he was the biggest reason they were able to reestablish themselves.
I wonder, and maybe we'll get Daryl Arada to call Elias and ask them about this, I wonder how many times in Giannis Antetokounmpo's unbelievable career, and he's going to be a great player for a long time, but has one guy been able to block his shot three times in the same game? Probably not many.
Not many. Not many at all. And he was just coming from the weak side. And Giannis, I don't think expected it at all. I would imagine next time if they play next year or later this year, who knows. But the next time they play, Giannis will be like, okay, you got me that time, young man. You got me. Now I know you're coming. But Draymond did a good job on him. He just didn't have a huge, huge impact on the game. Although, you know, the numbers are good. 23, 7, 6. Only took him 15 shots to get to 23. But it wasn't a dominant, like a signature type performance like he's been having really good performances. And then Lillard got hot right there after Kuminga left him when he shouldn't have, and he hit a couple shots. But he had 20 points, 16 shots. Again, solid, fairly efficient, but nothing that's really going to tilt the scales for you. And then Portis had 18 of his 20 in the first half, and then that was about it. That was just a really good performance by the Warriors, who got a lot of good performances. I thought Klay was really good tonight. I thought he was patient tonight. He didn't force stuff tonight. He only took 7 shots in 21 minutes, and he was a plus 17, and he had 10 points on those 7 shots. So just a really good, like, hey, we're back on it now. We're back on the winning track. Let's get that one against Chicago, and then we get San Antonio 2 times in a row, home and road. So, yeah, I mean, you got to keep chugging, got to keep winning. That was a really nice performance.
Really nice. There's a chance they may pick up a game tonight on the Lakers. The Kings are beating Lakers 112-97.
Yeah, well, they're picking up a game on somebody.
Somebody, yeah, somebody.
Somebody they're going to get in the game. Well, yeah, down 19. Looks like it's going to be. If you're scoreboard watching.
15.
19, 116-97.
Oh, I thought it was 112-97.
No, when it comes to math, just ask me.
Oh, okay.
I got you.
Well, the scoreboard below.
But not
below
children's
the,
names.
Below the square, the scoreboard. Okay, now it's just 116.
See? 116, okay. 97, Tim.
Oh, this.
There you go. That's 97 plus 3 is 100. Then you add the 16.
I'm going over the corner. You get to 19. I'm going to weep silently. Thank you. Now it's 118.97.
Thank you.
But anyway, you know, here that's the thing. I think, you know, like we said before at the top of the broadcast, Warriors have played, you've won 13 of 17,
yep,
and they're still in 10th spot. You know, so,
yep.
But if they keep this pace, a couple of teams above them, yeah, there's a couple of teams. Sacramento's one of them. I'm not saying they're going to fall, but they have a tough schedule.
Yeah.
And there are other teams that have tough schedules ahead of them. And so, you know, somebody, not everybody's going to go 13-4 to end the year, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think there will be a couple teams. If the Warriors can keep this pace up somehow, some way, a couple teams will come back to them. So
to me, just get to 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Right? Just get to 7 or 8. If you get to 6, bonus. You'd love to get to 6 unless Denver's at 3. Yeah. Then you can go ahead and skip six. And we'll take seven. We'll take a couple cracks at it with home court. Because that's obviously it's like, okay, well, seven or eight's not bad. But then you run the risk of not even making the playoffs. Like I say, the play-in game is like the pre-party in the garage, and you got to win that game to get to the house to go to the regular party. You just get kicked out if you lose those games. They just make you go back to your car. You don't even get to go enjoy. But at six, if Denver is three, like that's the only team I'd rather not play in the first round. I mean, the Clippers, I wouldn't mind avoiding, but they're still the Clippers. But Denver's like, they've had the Warriors' number. They're the best team in the West. They've won before. They're starting to gear it up a little bit, even though they lost to Phoenix last night. But that's the one team. And I'm not saying you manipulate anything. You just play it out, and you win, you lose. But let's put it this way. It would be nice if you didn't have to play the Nuggets in the first round. Anybody else? No big deal.
Well, you know, you don't know. I think Denver still has a chance to get to number two, I think.
Well, they can get to one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one, two, and three. It's kind of – and I guess the Clippers are still kind of right there.
Right.
But really, I mean, one, two, three have been kind of battling back and forth for the last week or so, maybe even week and a half. But, yeah, I mean, look, that's why the Western Conference playoffs, and I do not like, I will not like, I never will like the play-in game. But they're going to be – they're usually exciting because by definition a one-game playoff is, but the Western Conference is going to be insane.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, if there's no chance of the play-in game ever being rescinded after this year because, like, right now, you know, with the King-Laker game still going on, you would have – De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Splash Brothers, Draymond, and LeBron and Anthony Davis in the playing game.
I know. No, I know. And they're going to draw monster ratings. And then as soon as the game's over, the stats will go into the ether somewhere and no one will ever find them. Because there are no stats for playing games because they don't exist, apparently.
Now, you have to stop saying that. You know why?
Why?
Because we may be doing a play-in game. That game has to count. It doesn't count.
It counts, but the stats don't.
If it doesn't count, they may not pay us.
What? Oh, yeah, it definitely counts. What do you mean another game? You didn't do that game. That game doesn't exist. That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. Yeah, I need to rethink sometimes before I speak.
We you need to reassess.
No, there. No, absolutely I do. And that was a definite faux pas on my part. But it's insane. And then two of those teams are going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you start the playoffs. Like, I looked at it, and I'm like, there is not a Western Conference playoff matchup that I'm going to want to miss.
Right.
I'm going to be recording, burning up the DVR, watching those. Like, the Eastern Conference, do you really want to watch 1-8, 2-7? Yeah. I mean, the Pacers are kind of fun because they score so many points. That might be fun.
I will say the one race I'm looking at in the East is 4-8. Two games separate 4-8.
4-8?
Yeah. Two games. Orlando, New York, Miami, and Philly. Actually, and Indiana. So you have five teams there. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And two games separate all those teams.
How about if you finish first or second in the East, Boston?
Yeah.
Or Cleveland, Milwaukee? And with a week left to go in the season, Embiid comes back, and you're like,
Philly.
Really? You serious? Really? We're playing Philly with Embiid.
Or if the Knicks get healthy, you know?
If the Knicks get healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that
would not be an easy
out. No, that would not be easy. Because when Embiid was healthy, Philly was one of the best three teams in the East.
Yeah.
And they were, like, right there with the other two. And obviously without Embiid, so... Yeah, it's interesting because I would say, wouldn't you agree over the last two or three years, like, basketball has become more and more like baseball and maybe even football to an extent, that the first round of the playoffs are actually games. Like, you don't know who's going to win for sure. Because it used to be 1-8, 2-7.
Right.
Nah, those are over. But in the last few years, there's a lot of parity in the league now. And playoff time, it's kind of fun.
All right, real quick.
Yes.
Chicago has played better of
late.
They've got some things going on. They're coming in here tomorrow night, and Yeah, tell you what, the kid that really is taking a step forward this year is Coby White.
He he had a monster game against the Kings.
He just looks different out there. He's always had the energy, but now he looks like he's really starting to figure some things out, kind of like what Jonathan Kuminga is doing.
Yep.
Yeah, he's kind of figuring it out, and he looks like he's going to be a good player for a long time. And I got to tell you, I've watched a couple of their games recently. DeMar DeRozan does not get enough respect from people when they talk about great players. Like, that guy knows how to play.
No, you're right.
Offensively, he is just a genius.
Yeah, like he's one of those guys, we always talk about Joker not being an athlete but getting where he wants to go and you can't speed him up. That's DeRozan.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a great athlete anymore. He used to be an incredible athlete, but he just knows how to play. Knows where he wants to get to, and when he gets there, he rises up and shoots it. And he's got a great release point. You can't get to his shot.
Yeah, yeah. And he doesn't care about the modern trend. He knows who he is offensively.
Yep.
And he's going to get to his mid-range game, and you're going to look up in the third quarter and go, oh, he's got 22 points.
Yep. You know? Yep.
It's like,
yep. No, so. He realizes, I mean, he shoots a little bit more this year and makes a little bit more, but you're right. He's all about the mid-range. And when you're as efficient as he is, that's okay.
All right, we will do this all over again tomorrow.
All tomorrow night. See if we make it to two in a row.
Yep.
All right, Tim.